Hashtag psychotherapy unfucked with Mark Fielding.
Hello, welcome to series 5, episode 11 of Hashtag psychotherapy unfucked. As you know, I'm Mark Fielding, psychotherapist and relationship counsellor and your host. Today I have the absolute pleasure to interview Akansha Deshwal, founder of Nav Ayurveda, helping professionals quit substance addictions naturally. And if it's okay, Akansha, I'm just going to read a couple of lines off your LinkedIn profile, just talking about the company that was founded, solving the crisis of tobacco and other addictions through the power of Ayurveda. We aim to help and cater families suffering from the problem of addictions and substance abuse. Nav Ayurveda offers solutions in the field of addiction, mental and general health through our Ayurvedic products, online consultations and wellness programs. And I'm conscious you've done a lot of other things in your career, so we'll see maybe if we can touch on some of those as well. But really, really nice to see you again. Thanks for coming on. I always start off the interview by asking our guests about the personal experiences that led them into the field. So let me just start there. What personal experiences led you to work in this field?
Okay. As soon as I was born, I felt sick. I stayed at the hospital for approximately a month. And from that point, my journey of being sick all the time started. I paid more doctor visits than the visits to a playground. And this was my life for the next 21 years. I thought it was normal. I was very weak. I was very thin. I had a lot of skin issues. My hair was thin. And I had accepted it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't aware how it was affecting me mentally. I grew up as an over-anxious kid. I was always overthinking. I was always confused. I used to eat a lot of junk food. And everyone around me would keep telling me, Akansha, calm down. Don't overthink. Don't eat too much. And I used to wonder how. You know, all these things became a part of me. And I started thinking, okay, this is Akansha Deshwal, a person who's always, overthinking, who's worried about small, small things in life. I accepted it as a part of me.
Yeah.
After, my 22nd birthday, I was suggested Ayurveda by someone because for a health problem. Now, I was very reluctant because I've had medicines all my life. Like, I had become irritated with all the medications and I straight away did not want to do it. But that person persuaded me to try it for some time. I also joined yoga because I was very fascinated with all the flexible poses that people do.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'll give it a try for a month. But I don't know, somehow I did longer than that. It became a part of my lifestyle. And almost like 5 to 6 months after that, I noticed a big change. Like, I did not observe the change initially, but people around me started complimenting me. They started telling me, you look a lot better, you look a lot healthier, my skin cleared up, my hair was better. And then I observed myself. I was in much better shape than I was before. I also gained weight. And most surprising thing was that my behavior also, improved. I wasn't that over-anxious person now. I was much more calmed down. I did not have a lot of cravings like people crave for pastries, refined sugar.
Yeah.
I did not have them a lot. And that moment, I realized that no, that thin, weak person who was over-anxious, that was not me. I can become someone better. So that was the place that Ayurveda, just changed my life and gave me an image of myself, which was much better than I had before. And that's how I entered this field and I decided, okay, I'm going to devote myself to Ayurveda. And I'm also going to help people who have had that perspective of themselves come to a better self-image.
I mean, I guess what I hear, I mean, I'm really struck by your story, and I was when we first talked, pre-interview, the complete transformation of your life. I mean, mental and physical. So growing up, I mean, goodness me, what a difficult childhood, growing up with lots of difficult health issues, and then just accepting it, which I think that takes quite a lot of psychological flexibility actually to move into acceptance. But you did, you moved into acceptance, and then discovering Ayurvedic medicine completely transformed your life. I mean, it's an incredible story, isn't it? I mean, let me just ask, I mean, this is an enormous question to ask you, I know, but for our listeners that don't know what Ayurveda is, could you say a little bit around what it is?
Okay, Ayurveda, what I have discovered is more than, just for diseases and treatments. I'll just read the definition of Ayurveda
Yeah,
from
do.
one of the Ayurvedic treatises. It's in Sanskrit. So it says, Hita hitam, sukham dukham, ayu tasya hita hitam, manam cha tat yatrokta, Ayurveda sa uchyate. This means, Ayurveda is a science where wholesome and unwholesome, as well as happy and unhappy states of life, along with what is good and what is bad for you, its measurement and life itself is described. So, in a very simple words, Ayurveda is a science of living. It
Yeah.
tells you, it tells you about even the smallest things of how you should, what time you should wake up, how your behavior should be towards other people. So it talks about almost everything in your life.
Yeah. So it's a real holistic philosophy of life, really. And it's been around for thousands of years. Yeah. So there's a lot of evidence in that it really does work. So it is a complete, and I guess the yoga maybe fits into that, does it? I mean, just to,
Yeah, Ayurveda and yoga are, they are not separate. I have not found any book that separately talks about yoga or just talks about Ayurveda. You'll see that if there's a book of Ayurveda, it will also talk about yoga. And if there's a book on yoga, it will also talk about Ayurveda. So they are, for me, they are one.
And I'm a massive believer in holistic health. I mean, often the medical model, certainly here, in the West is, mind and body completely separated, but clearly that's not true. We are holistic systems, aren't we? And Ayurveda, and the philosophy of it really taps into that. I mean, let me just ask you, because you then it kind of after your personal transformation, it led you to setting up becoming the founder of your own company, Nav Ayurveda. Could you say a little bit around the setting up of the company and then what the company does, what you offer as a company?
Okay, so there was a transformation in me, and that moment of time, I was in IT sector. I was an engineer. And then I decided to leave my job and contribute to this full time. So in the beginning, only from the beginning only, I had the vision of, combining the physical and mental aspects together. Because from Ayurveda, we understand that body and mind are interconnected.
Yeah, of
If
course.
one thinks, if there's an imbalance in one, you will see an imbalance in other. So my focus on mental health was from the start. We started Navayurveda as a general wellness company first. Then I joined Community Innovator Fellowship, in which I, discovered about addiction. It happened, there was a friend of mine there, and one day we were both sitting, and he came to me and asked, Akansha, is there a way to quit addiction? No. He used to smoke using Ayurveda. And I told him, I'll ask my Vaidya and come back. And when I asked my Vaidya, she told me about how Ayurveda can wonderfully, solve this problem, help in this problem. So I went back to that person. I said, yes, sure, we can, help you out. But then he dropped off. He became defensive. Oh, no, I don't do a lot. And
Didn't want to
And
give up
that,
the addiction.
yeah. And that moment, I thought this is something I should work on because there are a lot of people who are suffering from this problem. And because there is a lack of dialogue also, and there's a lack of acceptance also. That and lack of empathy sometimes I feel, even if it had been like 4 to 5 years back, I was also very critical about people who used to smoke and do drugs. But now I have started to understand the situations and lo started looking to the towards them with eyes of help, that I can provide them support through Navayurved and I can help them. So we decided to go into this field, talk about it more openly, without any hesitations or no confidence. We are just there with confidence that we are there for you. Whenever that person is ready to, change their life, Navayurved will be there to help them.
And I guess being really, really open, not stigmatizing people with addictions, because I think that does often happen, doesn't it? I think it's very easy for people with addictions to be stigmatized. What kind of, I mean, what kind of addictions do you deal with? I mean, so there's tobacco. I mean, obviously, plenty of people in the world are addicted to tobacco. And what other kind of addictive substances do you deal with?
Okay, so we have dealt with patients having tobacco addictions, weed. Some people have come with opioids also. So basically, our aim is to deal with people having any kind of substance addiction. Because in Ayurveda, we are not only looking at the kind of substance, but we are also strengthening the person's internal system so that he can build up that strength to, build up that strength and, move towards a healthier life.
Yeah, I mean, building up the person's internal system. Yeah, so they're stronger, so they're more resilient. I mean, again, it's very, very holistic, isn't it? Making the person generally stronger. So I guess if they're stronger and more resilient, then they're going to be more able to deal with the addiction. How does it actually work? If somebody came, I mean, say I was to come to your company with tobacco addiction, something I gave up a long time ago. I did use to smoke years ago, but how would it work? So you'd have an initial consultation, and then what would happen? How does it work?
Okay, so we have an Ayurvedic range dedicated towards tackling addiction and its side effects. We have a proprietary medicine named Vinlife that contains 15 powerful herbs, and it is used to help people with substance addiction. The unique thing about this medicine is that it contains herbs that help you detox, also help you reduce cravings, and eventually help you heal your internal body. So when a person comes, we first talk to them about the history, how long they have been doing. Then our Ayurvedic Vaidya, basically in Ayurveda, a doctor is called a Vaidya. So she takes up the consultation, looks at the health history, prescribes the dosages, and also gives some lifestyle modifications for that person. So, he can heal better and faster. And we take regular follow-ups with the person so that we know that he's on track. If there's any requirement of counseling help, we definitely, refer them to someone. We also, always tell them to join yoga and pranayam because they are really life-changing. And we have now decided now we have decided to introduce coaching also, recovery coaching, for people who need more support. Because this is a field that requires a lot of personal support also. Yes, we are providing medicines, the doctor is working with them. But a lot of times when people fall back, hurts me also. And they are making progress, and suddenly something comes up that they want to go back to that substance. So we are decided to provide coaching for that purpose also. So they, be consistent in their journey and discover the transformation. Because I know the journey is very difficult. I've been there. But the transformation is actually worth it. So our aim is to get them from that state to a transformative stage where they can see that this person is someone I did not know I was, but now I am, and I feel much better.
Yeah, I mean, wow. I mean, it's so inspirational. The recovery counseling will just help them. And I guess it also helps to build up their sense of self and their self-confidence and helps them with relapse. Because I guess with addictions, people generally tend to relapse, don't they? Maybe it's 2 steps forward, 1 step back. So again, I guess you offered so many different, there were so many different threads to your business, you know, but all kind of aimed at really, really supporting the individual, you know, with addictions. Your company also works with mental health conditions other than addiction. Does it?
We want to extend it to that space. One thing I always, I realized in my journey and later learned that whatever happens in your body is eventually going to affect your mind. Like
Totally.
I had constipation for like 20 years,
Yeah, wow.
and I did not know that it was also, affecting my mental health. It
Yes.
was also affecting my behavior. So we try to, combine the solutions. We always tell people to, we pay first ask them about their physical health, how they're feeling, if there's any lifestyle modification that is required. We help them with that. And for mental health, one of the things that we always, advise them to do is pranayama, which is breath work.
Yes.
Like now we started to realize the importance. For example, we all have seen that if someone is panicking, so we tell them to take deep breath because it calms down the mind. So regularly practicing breath work can actually help you, control your stress. I have had been there myself, and it was, life changing for me. So these small things can help us cope up our mental health also. So this is what we want to in future also provide from our end. And we also want to, like, Ayurveda has a lot about mental health, which is still not very much, in the market or discovered. And we want to go into research in future. It's my dream to go into research of many medicines and
Yeah,
going
brilliant.
to deeper into Ayurvedic aspects of mental health. So in future, we really want to do this.
Yeah,
That's our dream.
and tapping into, you know, into a 1,000-year-old more to, you know, tradition and tapping into the wisdom that comes with that tradition. I'm going to move around a little bit. I just wanted to ask, because when we talked in the initial interview, you were telling me about your passion for dance. I just wonder if we can come back to the business side, but can you just say tell our listeners about that? Because you have a real passion, don't you, for dance as a person?
Okay, like I told you, I was very sick when I was small, so no one let me dance that time. Everyone said that you have low stamina, you're weak, you should not. But when I got into college, I got very fascinated by a classical dance form in India, Kathak. And I just immediately, decided that I will do it anyhow. Okay, I just told everyone, my parents, I want to do this thing for myself. I started going to the classes. And the most beautiful thing about it is so technical. Everything is so detailed. And when we, dance, we take care of so many things. And despite of being technical, it also, has those emotions. When you're dancing, you don't, like most of the compositions don't have proper words. They are beats. And even through those beats, you can feel those emotions. So it's so impactful. Second, my favorite thing about Kathak is it develops character. Like when we started going to the classes, our teacher taught us to, be respectful to the people who are teaching. So whenever we used to enter, we used to touch the feet of our teacher, pay our respects to the God, and then start dancing. And we used to always take care of our class. She taught us to always taught us that this space where you're dancing, it belongs to you as well. And it's your responsibility also to take care of it. So that made me, I think, more respectful because I really get that compliment from people when I meet them. So that respect comes out of me as I, meet any teacher or anyone who's elder. And second thing is to treat the space where I'm learning as my own. So these two things, I think, Kathak has taught me very well.
Yeah, and I guess for your emotional life, for your mental health, for your physical health, you know, for your state of being, again, I guess the dance is really holistic, isn't it? I mean, you must get a lot out of it in so many different ways, but for your mental health, I mean, it must be brilliant for your mental health.
Amazing. Like whenever I'm feeling those strong emotions about anything, that's the point of time I dance. And then it everything reflects in those performances. So it's a very amazing way to express yourself. If you're not able, I've been an introvert most of my life. So I don't really much tell people around me about what's happening, what's going inside my mind. So dance was a way to express. Now, whenever I post a video, people can, tell what Akanksha is thinking. Okay, today she's feeling like this.
Yeah, because you're expressing your emotional life through dance. And I guess it gives you an opportunity to extrovert. So you're naturally an introvert, you know, half the world are introvert, half are extrovert. But this gives you a real opportunity to just, I don't know, to show off your extrovert side. You must feel really free when you're doing the dance. The feeling of freedom when you feel really free. I mean, your body's moving. It must be wonderful, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I feel very beautiful when I dance. Like, I feel like the most beautiful woman on earth whenever I'm dancing, at least for myself.
I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, I just wanted to come back. Let's come back to business. And how, because I know I'm talking to you from India, from Rajasthan. Do I remember?
Yeah.
So you operate in India. Do you have plans to operate internationally, or what's in terms of the business and kind of working with international clients? Is that something maybe you'll do, or is that something you do already?
This is not something we already do. We have been planning this that we want to help people outside India as well because this problem is global. It's not just that Indians are going through it.
I agree, yeah.
So one of the reasons of introducing coaching was also that we can reach out people who are outside, who are
Right.
not in India and who are not able to contact us. At least through coaching, they can contact us.
Yes.
And later, we're also planning how we can go to abroad and have our products there so people can have an access to a solution.
So this is kind of the forward movement of the company. It sounds like a very dynamic company that you founded. There's lots of changes, it's moving
Yeah.
forward. It sounds like a really exciting space.
Yeah. We had a lot of changes because when I started, the only vision I had was that I want to do something in Ayurveda. And I want to put that mental health aspect into it because we talk a lot about physical health. We forget that mind is also impacting and shaping a life.
Course, yeah.
So that was something I was determined that I wanted.
Yeah.
I entered, I did not know a lot of things. Then I joined a government fellowship where I discovered about addiction. Then I met a lot of people suffering, and then I realized that, okay, these are the people I can help with
Yeah.
Ayurveda because they really need it. And
Yeah.
I was determined to help people, and I had found a field that I can help, and I can also touch the mental aspects also.
Yeah.
So both can be done together. So
Yeah.
that's how we now are have found our I have found something that we can do wonderful.
And I think it's really important, you know, as a founder, you know, the whole business that you've set up and continues to grow is actually based on your own personal experiences, really, of suffering, really, for 22 years of your life, and then having your life transformed, you know, by Ayurveda medicine. I mean, it's, I don't know, it's, it, I don't know, it just really, really says something, I think, about the company when the founder has founded a company based on their own personal experience of transformation. I don't know. I just think it's something that's not always there, is it, with companies? I mean, it's quite big, you know, it's quite inspirational. I also wanted to ask, because you've also worked for Toastmasters International. Would it be okay, because I wasn't really familiar with that, would it be okay if I asked you a little bit about what that is and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So basically, Toastmasters International is an organization that helps people build up confidence for public speaking and leadership. I was in college when I joined the club, and it's a wonderful space where the we know give speeches in the clubs. We take up leadership roles and we develop our qualities. Because when you go to, into the real world, it's very difficult to learn with freedom. You're always anxious.
Yeah.
So it became a safe space for me to learn. In Toastmasters, there's a very wonderful session named evaluation session, where whatever speeches we have given, a feedback is given. But the feedback is always given in a very constructive way. They tell about the positive things that you did, and they also tell about the things that you can improve on. We never criticize. We always tell about what we can improve. So it was a very supportive space, and that's why I still decided to, you know, even with the work, I decided that I want to be a part of this, because it's a space where I can, you know, openly without any fears, experiment, tell my thoughts, and learn.
And it's a really, really supportive environment, a kind of mentorship, really. So
Yeah.
people will mentor, people will give advice, they'll give constructive feedback, but it'll be done it with a lot of empathy and a lot of compassion. So I guess now with now you are, you know, you are a founder. Do you mentor other people that are coming in to Toastmasters and wanting to start businesses? Have you moved into a bit of a mentorship role?
Right now, not in Toastmasters. I'm
Okay.
very, not very active,
Okay.
although I try to attend meetings, but I'm not very active in mentorship roles.
Yeah.
I have mentored people before. I always try to mentor whoever is in Ayurvedic field and who wants to, you know more about what are the opportunities. So I'm always helping them out. Even the interns that come to us from the Ayurvedic field, we help them, you know. With the opportunities that there are in this field, there are a lot of opportunities right now open in Ayurveda, and people are doing wonderful work.
I mean, just looking at the whole of it, India, the Indian continent. I mean, in terms of, you know, people's kind of everyday connection with, you know, with the tradition of philosophy of Ayurveda, are people very connected to it, or is it kind of coming back? Is it coming back into the public domain a lot more?
Yeah, basically earlier we used to practice it a lot. Then there a time came when we were attracted to a lot of different things, whether it was food choices or lifestyle choices,
Yeah.
like staying up late at night. Ayurveda always advises you to follow the cycle of nature. Like the animals, if you look at the birds, they have a time of getting up around 4 p.m., 4 a.m. And they have a time of going back to their homes. So
Yeah.
Ayurveda always tells you to follow that cycle.
Yeah.
We obviously have missed that cycle now, because
Definitely.
everyone sleeps at 12 p.m., 12 a.m. or 1 a.m. and then everyone has to go to work, so they get up at 7 and just rush for whatever duties they have. So the sleep cycle is majorly affected. Number two, the eating habit. Earlier, we had a time that we a scheduled time that okay, we have a breakfast at this time, we are going to have lunch, and this is going to be the time of dinner. But now we eat whenever we want. So it disturbs the internal system because it has to work so much harder now. We are like, if I had lunch right now, 1 hour later I'm having some snacks. So think about the
Yeah.
toll that the digestive system has to go under.
Definitely.
So this is the thing that we have literally been very irresponsible with. And I feel like with Ayurveda coming back into the daily life, I've started to see people taking care of that. After I entered my Ayurveda, I helped a lot of friends get into it. And they have also, you know, started to being very careful about what they eat and how they are living. And they are seeing very good results. I'm very happy about that. So it's coming back into the system. And I think Ayurveda is not just Indian. Ayurveda is universal.
Yeah.
It talks about the laws of nature. I think the same nature's laws also apply to the West. You people also have the same
Course.
sunrise and sunsets, the
Course,
same
yeah.
similar animals. Animals also have same pattern. So Ayurveda is not just something that Indians are practicing, but it can be some, it's something that even West should adopt, because it's I think a lot of ancient medicinal systems in the West must be, you know, using the same similar science,
Yeah,
I think.
I have to say I totally agree with you. Yeah, I mean, but I mean the philosophy, and the wisdom, from this tradition, speaks to us all, really. I mean, we all live such strange lives now. We go to bed late, we get up, we sit in front of screens all day, we snack, we eat at different times, and it just makes complete sense to me, really, that as human beings, because we are actually part of nature, aren't we? Even though humans think of themselves as different to the birds and but we're part of nature. So why would it not be better for us to to follow the cycles of nature, to go to bed at the time when our bodies want to eat at the times when our bodies want to? I mean, I think there's so much in these ancient traditions, really, that I think we've lost as a civilization. So it's really, really good that this kind of ancient wisdom is coming back in, because on a logical level, it just makes complete sense, doesn't it? It just makes sense.
Yeah.
And we live very, very artificial, increasingly artificial lives, and just to kind of say a word about addictions, and part of the artificial lives we lead us to addictions. Our body's not working properly, we feel tired, so what do? We drink coffee, or we take drugs, or we smoke, or it's all so interlinked, isn't it? I think if we're able to, as humans, to go back to a much more natural way of living, a lot of the things that a lot of the kind of illnesses that I think we have, are going to go. I mean, I really agree with everything, really, that you've said today. I mean, I wanted to ask, what are your coping strategies to sustain good mental health? You've possibly already talked about them, but what do you do every day to sustain your own good mental health?
Okay, there are three things that I do and I try not to miss them,
Yeah.
because whenever I miss them, I don't feel the same kind of energy. Number one is yoga.
Yeah.
I also live in a very sedentary lifestyle where I'm sitting in front of a laptop. I'm not moving a lot as compared to what we would have done, I think, 30, 40 years back.
Yeah.
So yoga is a must because body needs movement. Second is pranayama, breath work, essential. It helps me, you know, control my mind. My mind feels so relaxed after doing it, and then I'm able to think clearly and make decisions. And the third one, which I discovered a few months back, was Natsyam. Basically, in Ayurveda, we say that nose is the doorway to the brain. So Natsyam is a lifestyle addition in which we put medicated oil in our nostrils in the morning and at night. And it's brilliant for sleep. Like, it helps you sleep better and it helps you improve your concentration. Like, I feel so much concentrated and so much, you know, calmer. I don't drink any coffee, which I'm
Yeah,
very happy that I don't
that's
have to
good.
drink. No coffee, no teas,
Yeah.
nothing to stimulate my mind.
Yeah.
I feel, yeah. So, this is these three things I try to do religiously. Sometimes also even I fail to do them sometimes, but I try to do these three so that I am calmed down and I'm in control and I can work on the things that I am very passionate about.
Yeah, and it's so important for all of us to have things that, I always talk about mental health scaffolding on the show, things that we do every day in order to sustain good mental health. The breath work is interesting. I've had many guests, it's something I really don't know much about. I've had many guests on the show talk about the benefits of breath work, and I think it's something I really need to find out about. I mean, so it really calms your mind. You'll
A
do
lot.
breath and your
Great.
mind will just calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there, without going into it too much, because I know I don't want to take too much of your time, but is there a kind of a way of breathing that you could maybe just recommend to our listeners now?
Okay, one thing that
Yeah.
I, you know, learned was to check my breath at regular intervals,
Okay.
because I noticed that whenever I'm anxious or I'm stuck, I'm either shallow breathing or I'm holding my breath, which I talk in my videos also. Okay, whenever you're, working, just notice your breath. एंड इफ यू आर नॉट ब्रीदिंग प्रॉपरली स्टार्ट टेकिंग डीप ब्रेथ. हाँ, द फुल ब्रेथ, बिकॉज वेन वी आर स्टक वी ट्राई टू होल्ड आवर ब्रेथ एंड इवेंचुअली वी फील मोर स्टक. सो वन टिप दैट आई वॉन्ट एवरीवन एवरीवन शुड डू इज प्लीज टेक यू नो ऑब्जर्व योर ब्रेथ एट रेगुलर टाइम्स एंड मेक श्योर दैट यू आर ब्रीदिंग प्रॉपरली, यू आर नॉट होल्डिंग इट.
Okay,
सो दिस इज द सिंपलेस्ट.
that's a really, really good tip. I mean, before we finish, is there anything that you would like to have talked about that I've not given you the opportunity to?
There's one thing that I have been you know talking myself a lot lately is about lifestyle. Like we are having so many lifestyle diseases right now and everyone is looking for a quick fix solution
Yeah, true.
and it's not working for them because the problem is the lifestyle, but very very less people, either when they come to a stage where they have no other option, that they change. So my suggestion to everyone who's listening is, I know it's very tough. It's you feel very you know it's tired in your body a lot of times. You don't want to take care of yourself, but please take care of your lifestyle. Please do yoga or any kind of exercise that you have here. Please eat properly. Please sleep properly. These are basic building blocks. And
Absolutely.
without improving these, even the medicines cannot help you. No matter how brilliant our medicines can become, but these are building blocks that need to be taken care of first. And medicines will only impact you. Medicines will only, you know, medicines will help you, but these blocks are very, very important. Please take care of them.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, and I totally agree with you. I mean, these are the fundamentals in which they have to be looked at. You know, we have to sleep well, we have to eat well, we have because these are the fundamentals for humans to thrive, aren't they? If we're not sleeping well, I mean, just to take sleep, for instance, I mean, if people are only allowing themselves to have 5 hours sleep a night, how can their systems, their mind and body systems work properly? They just can't, can they? And if people want to get hold of you, obviously we're going to put all of the links to, your videos and your company on with the show notes and their social media sites. How do they get hold of you? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The easiest way these days is to go to the Instagram or go to the LinkedIn, because these are the channels people are using extensively. So please go and visit us at Nav Ayurved. We are present at LinkedIn and Instagram as well. We have our website also, www.navayurved.com. You can contact us from there also.
Okay, fantastic. I want to thank you for your time. It's been a brilliant interview, and such an important subject. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I was very excited for this.
Great. I've really enjoyed such an important subject, such an important area, and one we've never covered in five seasons. So I'm so chuffed that we've got you on to cover such an important, kind of area. Okay, thank you. And I'd just like to thank Akansha for coming on the show. I hope our listeners will agree. It was a fantastic show, and covering a tradition that has been helping people for literally thousands of years. I mean, so interesting to hear more about Akansha's business and also the transformation she experienced from embracing Ayurvedic practice. The holistic system of Ayurveda. I mean, I'm just so glad that we've been able to cover it on the show. We've had five series and we've not covered this. I mean, I personally feel these ancient wisdoms coming more kind of into the fore now in many ways. There's so much wisdom there and so much teaching around holistic health and other areas that I think has just been forgotten. So I think it's absolutely amazing, really, what Concha is doing with her business. And her own story of personal transformation, suffering medically and mentally, although, as she, rightly said, the two things are not separate. We are all, of course, holistic, interconnected systems, all the way up to the age of 22. And, as a person, reaching a point where she dropped into acceptance, that her life was always going to be difficult for, the reasons that she explained. I mean, even the dropping into acceptance, I think, is an incredibly difficult thing for people to do. So, I mean, I think that shows so much psychological flexibility in a young person. But then at 22, when effectively she'd given up embracing the thousands of year old Ayurvedic teaching and having her whole life transformed, and then creating a business in order to help others achieve that transformation, and working, quite a lot specifically with addictions to tobacco, addictions to, as she said, opioids and weed, cannabis, really helping people through the learning that she's going through, dealing with her own suffering. I always think, oh, that's such a familiar story for people in the helping professions, but I just think it was really, really inspiring. I just felt totally inspired, really, and I really am going to check out more about Ayurvedic medicine myself. And really good to get to know her a little bit. I mean, I was glad that we talked about her love of dancing, because that's something that she talked about a lot in the pre-interview, if you like. So really interesting to hear. And of course, filtering, as I do, everything through mental health benefits, the mental health benefits of feeling free, the emotional expression, the physical aspects of the dancing, must be so good for her mental health, her mental, emotional health. Of course, all these are effectively the same thing. If you'd like to get hold of Akansha, then please do check out our social media sites, and we'll have the links to her Instagram page, LinkedIn page, her website, and other contact details along with the show notes. Just really taken by today's interview. Such an important area, and one I think we're going to come back to. And it was so nice to interview someone from India, from Rajasthan, Jaipur. It's our first interview, I think, with somebody from India, but it's certainly what will not be our last. Coming up, we've got another show tomorrow where I'll be interviewing Giovanna Hammond, friend of the show. Giovanna, I interviewed her in terms of her work and her TV work in series four, I think. She's just produced a new film which premiered a couple of weeks ago very successfully, called Mask of Darkness. So I'm going to have the absolute pleasure to see and interview Giovanna again, and also the members of the cast. These are always really great shows, so please do watch out for that one. And I've got some more coming up. On Monday, I'll be doing an interview, hopefully, with a guest that appeared in season three. But I'll say more about that on the day, just to see whether that happens. And that hopefully will be around relationships in the LGBTQ community. So that should be a really good one, really, really important that we do cover that. And I also want to cover, kind of going forward, so I also want to cover polyamory. So if you are a listener who lives in a polyamorous relationship model, then please do get in touch. I mean, I really want to cover polyamory. Or if you're a professional working with polyamorous couples or couples with ethical non-monogamy, then please do get in touch, because that's an area that I absolutely need to cover, want to cover before the end of the series. Series is, can't believe we're on number 11 of season five. Goodness me, it's going so quick. Lots more to come, though. It's really, really has been a cracking series. And I just love that we cover so many different subjects. I mean, we really do have a broad brush here, because I think so many areas need to be covered in terms of looking at mental health from, a holistic viewpoint. As I always say, if you're enjoying the show, please do subscribe. It matters so much, really, in so many different ways, the amount of subscriptions we get. So please do subscribe, and please do put some comments up if you want to comment on the show. Please do, Joe, and I love to read the comments. And also, if you want to see the videos of season 5 and the tail end of season 4, check out Mark Fielding, hashtag psychotherapyunfogged on YouTube. The numbers on YouTube are very slow in comparison with the amount of numbers we get on our audio podcasts. They're going up slightly, but if you do want to see the actual interviews, then please do check them out. And similarly, please do subscribe. Please leave comments, good, bad, neutral. As always, thank you for listening to the show. Got some great shows coming up. Looking forward to tomorrow. So check tomorrow's show out soon. And as I always say at the end of the show, look after yourselves, look after each other, and look after the planet. Thanks for listening. Thanks again for listening to the show. If you have been affected by any of the topics on this show or any other of our shows, if you're in the UK, then please reach out. Samaritans can be contacted on 116 123. Now, the GP is also a good source of contact and can be the gateway for, counselling services and other mental health support. Reach out to your mental health support team, mental health first aider, or trusted friend, colleague, or family member. We have a lot of international listeners. So if you're listening from a non-UK country, then please reach out to, your country's healthcare and mental health care providers. And remember, it's okay not to be okay.
Hashtag psychotherapy.